Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick Six podcast, moderator, the spear fisherman, I don't know. Did you do any spear fishing in the tropics?
No, we saw a 8-foot hammerhead there.
Nice.
It was ran circled our group for like 11 minutes, and then it just killed a stingray and was like flying around us. And the captain of the boat leading the dive trip got a video of it for like 11 minutes straight. It was pretty wild. I saw a bunch of sharks down there, but didn't have seen a hammerhead before. But that was the first time I've ever seen one like in like 40 feet of water, like hunting. It was pretty terrifying.
Yeah, were you in a cage or what?
No, we're just swimming along.
Wait a second. No, there's no chance of that, Will.
What do you mean? He showed up on the, we'd seen a bunch of rays, and then all of a sudden, there's an 8-foot hammerhead just.
But you're not checking out if you're just walking around and like there's a hammerhead shark? You're not checking out?
I mean, what am I going to do? I'm not going to swim away? I mean, I was hiding behind my dad, like holding his leg.
Well, you only have to be faster than your dad.
Exactly. Yeah. He kept looking around, wondering where I was. There's actually this couple that was on that particular dive with us as well. It was their first ever boat dive. Eighth dive ever. They'd only done shore dives before. And the guy swam down and got really close and was videotaping the shark too. And then after the thing, the girl told me, she was like, I was hiding behind you. I was like, well, I was hiding behind Bob. Like, I mean,
wait, did you say you were like,
Bob? I mean,
look, oh, Bob. I thought you said mom.
Mom. No, I wouldn't. Mom wasn't on that. Mom skips the afternoon dives. Dad, aka Bob, was on the dive. And
oh, okay.
I was hiding behind Bob. Look, he's had a great run. I mean, you know, Bob's got many years left here.
Again, you only got to be faster than Bob. Yep. All right, we have reached the we're bored part of mock draft season where everybody's doing trades or, all right, here's a mock draft, but we're only drafting players whose name starts with a vowel.
Next week, I'm doing my worst mock draft ever, my second annual worst mock draft ever, where the goal is to make every single fan base in the NFL mad. Like, I'll probably have the Panthers trade a future first round pick to move up and draft Bo Nix or something.
Exactly. trade back into the first round to get Bo Nix. All right. Well, speaking of Panthers trades, there seems to be a growing popularity of mocking trades with the Panthers for the first pick in the second round because teams who didn't draft a quarterback in the first but might want one in the second look at the Panthers as, hey, they've got the first pick in the second round. Let's trade up there and get our quarterback. It is possible, for instance, I'll just convolute the conversation even further, that if you're Washington, or not Washington, if you're New England, and you decide, you know what, we're not going to take quarterback number one. We're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. With our first-round pick, the third overall pick. And then we'll see which quarterback is sitting there early in the second round. So do you think the Panthers are a real candidate to trade out of the first pick on day two?
Yeah, I think so. Partially because they have, I mean, primarily because that pick, and we've seen a lot of times what ends up happening is there's so much value at the top of the second round that, you go into it in the second day knowing, all right, like we actually have somebody who is pretty high up on our board that made it to the second round. We have this opportunity to get this really good player. You saw it with the Bengals and T. Higgins a couple years ago when the Chiefs took Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and typically speaking, there's a lot more bluster about trading out. But I do think that if, you know, we have the overnight factor, so there's a lot of time to make calls and to discuss stuff and to sort of drum up offers. And given that, you know, we've talked about it, if David Tepper isn't the one pulling every single string on this roster right now, then I think it's entirely possible that Dan Morgan could decide to trade back, especially if, and this really depends, Adam, on like how the first round shakes out.
Adam Golden studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Financial advice industry can be overwhelming for a lot of people. Is there a way to be sure you're getting the best service when you don't know?
Yeah, Adam, it's not just if you gave the money to a planning team and they did good the first year. I mean, anyone could do good for 1 year, but it's a track record and it's a long-term accounts that are very important. We call that a financial fill-up strategy, Adam, and that gives you lifetime income you can never outlive. We'll put together for you, the listener, your very own total retirement plan if you call right now.
Call and claim your comprehensive review with Coach Pete and the team, 888-843-0013, or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
Because I think they're going to take a wide receiver with one of those, at least one of those two picks.
Right.
To start the second round, maybe both of them. We'll see. But, you know, there's a ton of offensive line talent and a ton of a group of like four really good cornerbacks, obviously the quarterbacks, and then a huge group of really good wide receivers. And so if, like, the Panthers get to the second day and we only have like three or four, maybe five wide receivers go in the first round versus like six, seven, eight, then I think they definitely would be willing to trade back because, you know, you want to accrue more assets. You still got 39, right, where you can get a wide receiver. However, if we see a big run of wide receivers in the first round, wouldn't be surprised at all if the Panthers stay there, take the best wide receiver on the board. Because, yeah, really, like Deontay Johnson, a nice pickup as a trade for sure, but, you know, no guarantee how long, like what his status is and how he'll be able to produce. That room is still very much patchwork. So I think terrible. Wide receiver has to be key. I wouldn't, and again, I've said this, if David Tepper's the one pulling the strings, I wouldn't be shocked if they packaged 39 and 33 and traded up in the first round to grab a wide receiver, but I wouldn't do that if it were me.
No, they see the theory for me is that, and we're talking with Will Brinson, CBSSports.com, senior NFL writer. For me, they need more kicks at it on day two. So, yeah. You have 33, you have 39, you have your third round pick. So they've got three picks. Like, if I was going to move out, if let's just say that somebody really wants to trade up to get Bo Nix, like, have at it, by the way. That would not be me. I like Michael Penix a lot, and it's interesting to see now he is kind of sliding into the middle of round one. I love Michael Penix. But
he's older and got injuries, though. Like, he could definitely fall. That's the best case for the Panthers, is Michael Penix falls out of the first round, doesn't get drafted on Thursday, and then there's some teams who are like, okay, Carolina's definitely willing to deal. We'll move down, you know, move down like five or six spots. You know, we give them a third rounder just because they just need bodies.
Right.
Need the picks. And you give a third rounder, slide a couple picks up and grab Penix there. And it's not like if you're Carolina, the opportunity cost is huge. You already have your quarterback, and you know nobody's going to kill you for not, you know, grabbing picks at the top of the second round.
But I would want those picks on day two, or at the very least, like early on day three near the top of the fourth round. I would not. Some of the drafts I've seen, or some of the trades I've seen, have like Carolina getting a fifth and then a third next year. I'm like, nah, that would not be it. The Panthers need to draft like as many good players as they can now, and not wait until next year. So if somebody's giving me something for next year, it would have to be better. Like there would have to be a lot more value. Although the Panthers don't have great track record of making good trades on draft day, so. Not to publicize another website, Will, but ESPN's got an interesting kind of mock draft tool where you can actually draft for whatever team you want. So
PFF does the same thing.
Okay, cool.
By the way, I'll throw out one because I just wanted to make sure that I was pretty sure, but I wanted to double check. The Denver Broncos, I think, reportedly really like Michael Penix and Bo Nix, and Sean Payton wants a quarterback.
Right.
They don't have a second round pick. So if you're Carolina and, you know, both those guys are there at the, or one of those guys is there at the top of the second round, I mean, I would call Denver and be like, why don't you give us your first next year for the first pick in the second round? And if they're getting a quarterback, they feel like he's a franchise guy. I mean, it's always possible they swing for the fences there.
Yeah, I think that would be great. And I would love to take advantage of Sean Payton. There would be nothing terrible about fleecing Sean Payton. Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com. So anyway, I did the whole mock draft thing for the Panthers. And I took Xavier Legette I didn't make any trades. I just drafted where the Panthers drafted. I took Xavier Legette from South Carolina, the wide receiver, with the first pick in the second round. And then I took that crazy good athletic defensive tackle from Florida State. Was it Braden Fiske? Who's just an absolute monster.
Way to go, Dan Morgan.
I love him. That would be pretty good if the Panthers could come out of the first, you know, the second round with that.
Well, I mean, that's the thing about this draft, too, is that there are a lot, like, the talent level kind of drops off, I think, after the, like, we've seen the last couple of years, it's been a very sort of even-keeled draft where, and I think there's some kind of bell curve you could do. I'm not smart enough to actually do the math, but there's a COVID year bell curve in terms of the talent that's coming out of the NFL draft. I think this is kind of the back end rolling out where you're getting a really, really group, like really, really big group of maybe a little bit older, but like higher in talent. I think like a Bo Nix,
right?
You know, a Michael Penix, guys who, you know, rejuvenated. Jaden Daniels even did it, right? Transferred from Arizona State with the Heisman at LSU. You know, you have a Peyton Wilson, like guys like that. So yeah, I mean, I think this is a draft where there's going to be a good run of talent, like high-end talent, through the second round here. And that's where, if you're Carolina, if you screwed up, you trade away the first, you know, the future first, the number one overall pick, the Caleb Williams pick for Bryce Young. But it's, you know, what's done is done. That pick, it's, you know, you can't get it back. And that's been the case for a long time. Once you get past this draft, you can't beat on Carolina anymore for it. You know, it's the Bears. If you're Carolina, you come out of this after the Brian Burns trade, and you didn't get as much as you would like to get for Burns, but you got something, a good pick. If you can turn 33 and 39 into hot, like, blue chips players, then, you know, I think it really could sort of, like, start turning the Titanic back away from the iceberg if it's not already just completely submerged.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with this team is that after the – and for the most part, they have hit on first round picks for the most part. They haven't all been, you know, winners, but because it's still, I don't know what you call J.C. Horn at this point because he hasn't been on the field enough. But for the most part, they've been good in round one, but they haven't really been good beyond that. And especially over the in the
it's really a case for a long time.
The Scott Fitterer era, it's really been a disaster.
That didn't go well.
I could be wrong here, but with guys in the second round, you're trying to find starters, right?
Yeah.
You're not getting depth guys. You're getting starters in the second round.
Yeah, and especially like in the 30s. Any pick inside the top 50, I mean, you're hoping, you know, that you can come away with a starting caliber player. Now, you know, I doubt that the Panthers have 50 first round grades. But I would guess in this class that they probably have, it's possible if you include the quarterbacks that you've got over 30 first round grades, and that's great news, which means that you have the possibility of getting a wide receiver, getting a defensive player. The offensive line class is ridiculous. One of the best you've seen in a long time. So like you have the chance to shore up the offensive line. I mean, if you're, and that's really what stings again about that first overall pick is Carolina could have traded back with so many teams. You know, we're just drafted Caleb Williams if they didn't have Bryce Young, but they could have traded back with so many teams who would give up a haul to get Caleb Williams, and you'd be in a spot to really pick up, you know, he could get, you know, get the 11, 23 plus two future firsts from the Vikings for number one overall, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, you could, you know, anyway, that's bygones or whatever. But I think that the strengths of this class match up well with the Carolina's weaknesses. And the depth at those strengths, particularly offensive line and wide receiver, are going to be beneficial for them when they get to that second round and you think you can possibly find starters.
All right, final thing for Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com. which team is going to make the first big mistake? And I'll ask you this question again next week.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think that, I think it's probably, just by like sort of the law of averages and the math that goes into the NFL draft, it's probably either the Commanders or the Patriots, because it's hard to imagine, let's say Caleb Williams is a star. It's hard to imagine that all three of Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and J.J. McCarthy are going to be stars as well. And so one of those teams is going to draft one of those guys
right.
that ends up not working out. So, I would probably lean towards, just put it on Washington because you're the ones who's picking. And, even though you have the pick, good luck telling me who's going to be better, Jaden Daniels or Drake May. I think they both have immense upside. Picking, drafting quarterbacks is really hard. And, you'd rather have the choice and be able to make the decision actively. But sometimes there's something nice about being your third. You're like, all right, you guys do whatever you want to do, and we'll bank on you screwing up and take the other guy.
There is something to be said for taking the player that's left, right?
Yeah.
Right? You guys make your decisions. We'll just hey, this is who was left, so we took it. That there is something to be said for that. Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, a man who is unafraid of open water hammerhead sharks. That's the way we are going to close this. Thanks, man.
All right, buddy. See you, man.
You got it. I got news for you. If I see a hammerhead shark swimming near me open water,
nope.
We're gone.
Bye.
We're done. I'll be on the dock.
I'm done. I've seen Jaws. You can't fool me.
I'll be on the dock.
Yeah.
Or in the boat or something. I will not be.
Yeah.
I will not be in open water.
You.
Jake, I'm getting worried. My house hunt's taking longer than expected. We've made so many offers and keep losing out.
You could really use the JAG advantage.
What's the JAG advantage?
The Jim Allen Group, number one real estate team in the state since 1996, with the largest inventory of home sites in the Triangle, 11,000. And they rep more than 65 communities.
The Jim Allen Group? Oh, I get it. The JAG advantage.
Score with the Jim Allen Group at thejagadvantage.com. Equal housing opportunity.